Dear listener, it's Monday morning, the dreaded beginning of the work week, and Matt and I have some advice for you to make it through the next 5 days on this mini episode of The Working Experience. Enjoy.
The Working Experience.
93 North is almost at a standstill. It's a rough one out there this morning, snow and sleet.
There is no service on
the... Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, folks, we're going to be a few minutes. We have train traffic ahead of us. We should be moving shortly.
John, we need that report ASAP.
Where are we on that presentation?
Dan, HR wants to see you.
Did you return that email yet?
We have a team meeting at 10.
Need to stay late, Bob.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
They're moving in a different direction.
And after the meeting, we'll have a breakout session.
Who ate my biscuits?
Where are my hot pockets?
This microwave is disgusting.
Oh, God, what's that
smell? He was clipping his toenails at his desk. I can't take it anymore.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Working Experience Podcast. This is Matty Kay.
And John, and welcome on this glorious Monday in August.
Weekend is behind you. I hope it was a good one.
I always like keeping the weekend in the rear view mirror.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a good feeling. I see in the rearview mirror floaties, a lot of killed cans of Bud, a lot of broken dreams from the weekend.
Yeah, floating on that raft on Sunday afternoon is you gotta wrap it up. You gotta get everybody in the car. You gotta pack all that stuff in that no one's interested in packing up. And then you got to get on the road. You got to fight through traffic for 4 hours to get home.
That's life right there.
And then hopefully you're able to eke out a few hours of sleep. Of course, this is August. A lot of people are on vacation. I saw a guy Saturday morning. And it was great because I see RVs on the road all the time. But this one was parked in front of his house, and they were packing it up. This thing
nice.
This RV was the size of my apartment in Brooklyn. I mean,
can you get more American than that?
Well, just as I was jogging by, he starts it up, and you hear, and then it catches, and it's like, no. And it was great because they were just getting going. He was just getting ready to put that in gear. And oh man, they're going to have the time of their lives.
Yeah, you see the kids come out of the house. Their heads are hung low.
Yep.
They're just like, Jesus, are we really going on this trip, Dad?
Come on, kids.
You betcha.
they're on their phones. They're just looking at their phones, playing whatever they play, texting their friends. And God forbid there's not Wi-Fi. Oh, my God. You have a mutiny on your hands.
Life is over. But listen, that you got to get out on those highways, get out with the family. You've been working hard for 50 weeks out of the year.
Let's go.
You take a little break.
Let's go. Get in that RV, and I'd better see a smile plastered across everyone's face.
Absolutely. What I love about the RVs is you have to change the shitter. Like, you, there's some point where the shitter's going to fill up, and you got to attach that hose, and you better know what you're doing.
You know, I never
because if something goes wrong,
it's
lights out. It's about a week's worth of waste that's going to spew in your face.
There's no way I would have anybody using the bathroom on the RV.
It would have to be a near emergency.
And
nobody uses it.
You could take a piss. I'm okay with that. Anything else? No. We wait for the rest area. That is not happening. Okay.
Well, what I would do is I'd let everybody use it, and then just on the highway, I just hit the latch, and it just dumps on the highway.
Just evacuate it. All over the highway. You know, I never thought of that. Yeah, I guess you probably have to pull into a special, like, station to get rid of... I mean, they don't just let you do that anywhere.
No, you have to properly dispose of that waste.
I am sure there are many people who just pull into a, the woodsy area and they just, you know, dump it in the woods and done, ah, whatever, it's fine.
Oh, yeah. That's absolutely.
I hadn't thought about the commode. I mean, have you ever, the last time I rode a bus was two summers ago and I came down to New York. I figured, you know, I've got time, whatever. The entire bus smelled like the toilet. The entire bus. And this was like Peter Pan. I mean, this was like, you know, a reputable, supposedly. Whole thing smelled like the bus. I mean, like the toilet. And God forbid you have to use the toilet on the bus. Which is just, even just trying to pee standing up. Women, oh my God, I feel.
I avoid bus bathrooms like the plague. I'll hold it in until my bladder bursts.
Yeah, I couldn't. I had to get out. Then you have to go back and use it. You end up almost peeing all over yourself. And then I'm always imagining this is the time the bus is going to flip over with me in the bathroom.
Exactly. We've got everybody accounted for except for one individual. And you're like banging on the door. The bus is like down a ravine.
Either that or my obituary is that he drowned in toilet water. that's a rough way to go. That's a rough.
You don't want to go out like that.
So, folks, you know, maybe this Monday morning you're in the RV. Maybe this is your 2 weeks of vacation. You're cooking across this great land of ours in search of FUN. That's what Americans do.
Yeah, and listen, more power to you. God bless. Just make sure you map out those places where you can dump the shitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't want a full shitter on your hands.
No.
You don't want an overflowing shitter on your hands on the open road.
You'd be like, all right, boys, which one of you is up for it's one of, whose turn is it over there? Connor, is it your turn now? Okay, get on that. Be like, I'm not emptying that. Hey, look, it's a rite of passage, okay? You're not a man.
This is what makes you a man.
Yeah, if you're not a man until you've emptied the toilet, okay? So let's go. But then some of you, I think, have to trudge off to work, even though it's August. I see guys landscaping. I see them doing roofing. Ooh, that is brutal. That is brutal work.
Yeah, in August heat, that's not fun. But hey, listen, that's work. That's their job. You got to get up and get after it.
That's right. That's right. Let's see. In other news, well, since we're talking about commuting, I tried to go into Boston on last Thursday, to do a podcast with Michelle Burns, who's a makeup artist. She works in a salon in Somerville, and she did the makeup for the short film. I got as
and the emphasis on that sentence should be tried. Matt tried to go into Boston.
Tried. Now the red line is there's only like the red, the blue, the orange. There's like five of them in the Boston area, the what they call the metro area. And so I'm at towards the end of the red line. Braintree is the last stop. So I got on in Quincy. I never made it out of Quincy after nearly an hour, which should be the train just now. A train derailed about 3 weeks ago. And they still keep blaming that. They're like, we have significant delays. I am going into Boston at about 4:30. That is against the commute, 4:30 in the afternoon. Most people are coming out of Boston. I'm going into Boston, and they keep saying there's train traffic. Like, what train traffic? Like, what is going... It's been an ongoing problem. I took the train in a few Wednesdays ago when I came down to New York. So I got on with all the other commuters. It was about 7:30 in the morning. My train was at 9. I figure, okay, I'm going to get in there at least 45 minutes early. I'll have time to grab a cup of coffee, blah, blah, blah. I thought I was going to miss the train. And people, I mean, like, the train gets crowded. It starts to get very crowded. It's kind of hot. I mean, people's, like, you could see the looks on people's faces, like, their tempers. Because they do this every day. Try to get into Boston.
Oh, the brutality of the daily commute cannot be underestimated.
I mean, I commute in my car these days, but for many, many years I took the subway from Brooklyn to the Bronx. Never minded it much. You know, I could sit. There's obviously trade-offs with different commutes. You know, you're in your car, it's a little more comfortable, you can listen to the radio, you know, whatever. And you have the air conditioning, and many, many people prefer cars. Americans are not really sold on public transportation, I would say. Not like they are in Europe, Japan, places like that.
Yeah, I mean, and some of our public transportation hubs have a lot to be desired.
But, you know, I am amazed at how well the New York City subway runs. It's because it's so huge. You know, it runs pretty well.
I mean, I would say most New Yorkers are sold on public transit.
Well, I mean,
the cost of owning a car is just astronomical.
Right. And I would never, I mean, there were a few times when I lived there, I thought about, yeah, I should maybe buy a car. And then I would see someone's windshield smashed in, and I would think, eh, maybe yeah, maybe not.
Or their car towed, and they got to spend $600 to get it out of the pound.
I got a car towed. The first day I moved into my apartment in 1997, my car got towed. So
my car got towed. I was doing the alternate side of the street parking game, and I overslept.
Isn't that a great feeling coming out?
Oh, here's an even better feeling. Going to the pound.
Did you go to the one in Brooklyn?
The one in Brooklyn.
It's hell on earth. It is absolutely
hell on earth. And it was, I think it was like $450 cash to get my car out. And then when they pulled the car around, I had 5 tickets on my windshield that I had to pay for. 5 of them. That was another $500.
They basically threw you to the pavement and then kicked you in the head and then right in the balls and then in the head again.
Yeah.
No, you know what I loved? So I get my car towed. This is like, I didn't even have a job at this point. I just moved back from Colorado, just like a year out of college. I thought the car was stolen and I thought, well, good riddance. And then my girlfriend, I was like, I don't care, you know. My girlfriend was like, no, you better call around. They may have towed it. So lo and behold, they towed it. The Brooklyn impound lot is not in a wonderful neighborhood, I would say.
That's putting it mildly.
And I took the subway out there. So I'm hoofing it through. And this is 1997. Things were even a little dicier back then. You know what I love about the impound lot is that you stand in line. You just stand there, and then you get up to the windows. They're behind bulletproof glass for good reason. Because some people in there are about to lose their minds. You know, they're just...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one's happy to be there.
No one's happy.
So you get all the way up to the front, and they say, license and registration. Well, I have my license, but like 90...
registration.
It's in the car. It's in the car. So now I have to go out, get in another line... Get into a golf cart with a guy who drives me to the car.
That's what I forget. That's what I love. The golf cart. I was in the golf cart. And it's not like it's just the attendant and you. You're sharing the golf cart with multiple people.
Yes.
Who are getting dropped off at this. I mean, the lot is massive.
Massive. So I get out, get my registration out of the car, back in the golf cart, drives me back to get back in the same line. Like, you'd think they would have a line for people with their registration or not. No. So everybody...
They don't care.
Love it. They love it. I mean, I'm not sure they... Well, yeah, they probably take a certain amount of sadistic pleasure in it. So, yeah, taking the subway, you can read. You know, you can just kind of relax. You can kind of zone out, take a nap, whatever. In the car, obviously, hopefully you don't do that.
Over the weekend, I drove up my son to Connecticut to his friend's house, about 2 hours north of my house. Leave in the morning, breeze up there, 2 hours, no problem. The way home was a problem. It was a complete and utter disaster in Connecticut and then around the bridges and then the LIE, the Northern State. Waze or Google Maps, I can't remember which one it was, literally had me getting on the Northern State, then getting on the LIE, getting off the LAE, getting back on the Northern State. It was like a ping pong match, and I nearly lost my mind.
Yeah, there's nothing more frustrating. I can't think of that many things more frustrating than just sitting in traffic that has stopped, and you don't know why.
Yeah. And I know people who do it every single day. Every single weekday.
I think I would probably have a stress, like I would get shingles, or I would have heart problems or something like that, just from the stress, from the anger, you know, the aggravation.
What was that? What was that movie? I think it was with Michael Douglas.
Falling Down.
Falling Down. That's it. What? That's a good one.
He
loses it.
That is definitely along the lines of the working experience.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And that movie was so popular because I think so many people can identify with just losing, just getting out of your car in traffic and walking away, just leaving it there. And then going on a rampage. Yeah. So what time of day was this on the Saturday?
This was, I drove him up at 10, got there at about noon, chit-chatted with the parents for a little bit, and then this was between like 1 and 4:30.
See, like, I would not expect all that traffic. I would think everybody's where they're going or whatever.
Me too. It was brutal.
Yeah.
It was absolutely brutal.
And the problem is, when you've experienced that, for me, when I get out of the car, I'm still mad. Like, I am still so keyed up. I feel like throwing something through a glass window. Like, I just get so... I'm surprised there's not more road rage incidents. Oh, there was a good one up here. These two guys got into it.
I got a good road rage story after yours.
All right. These two guys got into it, apparently, driving on the highway, yelling back and forth, fingers. So they pull into a Market Basket in Mansfield, and the guy follows the other guy into the parking lot, which is always that's always going to go well. And apparently pulled a knife and was threatening the guy. And this and that. I don't think anybody was injured, but the cops were called. And, like, I've been really mad before. I've had people flip me off and all that. And occasionally I'd think, I'd love to follow that guy, come to a stop, and be like, all right, let's go. And then I think, what is going to be the end result?
No, nothing good's going to come out of that.
One, I beat the crap out of the guy and end up with a police record. Two, I get the crap beaten out of me and end up with a police record. Either way.
there's no good outcome. Because what people don't realize that if you get into a fight and you hurt that other person, you're going to get arrested.
Oh, yeah.
And if you God forbid, if you accidentally kill them, you're going to jail.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, jail is kind of the least of your problems. You have that on your record for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you know. It's not good. Anyway, so my road rage story is we went out to the Hamptons on this past Friday, this beach called Cooper's Beach, a very well-known beach. And we go out there and we see all these state troopers and helicopters. And we're like, what is going on? We forgot that Trump was going out to the Hamptons.
Ugh.
So first he was going to Watermill, and then he was going to the Southampton. God.
He ruins everything.
Yeah, he ruins everything. But we were able to, like scoot in, scoot out. So as I'm driving back, I call up my brother, who I remembered that he was coming out to the Hamptons to go to some event. And I was like, hey, AJ, Trump's out here. You know, we're passing signs that there are going to be random road closures and all this stuff. I was like, you got to leave a buffer. So as I'm telling this, he's like, okay. And he's driving with his wife. As I'm telling him this, he just completely explodes with profanities. You F-bomb mother effing screaming, just screaming. I go, what happened? He goes, he's telling me that this asshole just cut him off.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's doing this, and I'm like, AJ, calm down. And then like 10 seconds go by, and then he explodes again. The window goes down. I hear this on the phone, And his wife, my sister-in-law, is like, no, AJ, don't click. So I call him back. And what happened was a guy wouldn't let him in, like let him in to get on the parkway.
Yeah.
So he eventually gets on the parkway, catches up to this guy who's like the 65-year-old guy, and rolls down the window. So he won't let him back in. This guy is trying to get into his lane. The other car swerves into AJ's lane and nearly hits his car. The other guy rolls his window down and flips him the bird. So his wife is now convincing him not to smash the rear end of this car because he's got kids in the car.
AJ does.
AJ does, yeah.
Yeah.
So AJ has clear road rage, and it was just, he didn't. He just dropped it, but he was furious, absolutely furious.
I've really contemplated the pros and cons of smashing the car right in front of me and just think, you know, yeah, it's worth it.
I think everybody does. Everybody does. Has that visual image. Anyway, we got to wrap this up.
Folks,
we've been droning on this Monday.
So on your commute, try to avoid either road or subway rage. Enjoy your Monday. If you have the next couple of weeks off, enjoy those as well. Have fun and remember to empty the shitter, as John advises on the RV. All right,
that's a good T-shirt.
Yeah,
always remember to empty the shitter.
Empty the shitter on the T-shirt with a picture of an RV. Empty the shitter. All right, folks. Thanks
exactly.
A lot.
All right, thanks everyone. Thank you everyone for listening to this episode of The Working Experience. We'd like to thank our sponsors, One Circle Media and the Still Believe app, the only app that delivers video proof of the Tooth Fairy and Santa by simply taking a picture. Download the app at stillbelieve.co today and amaze your kids. And if you work for a studio, network, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain your audience, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I would love to hear from you. And that's it. The end. The sweet end. Until our next audio encounter.